wondering what this is all about, afraid to swim, afraid to take the dip, you have something of great value that you are meant to put into the service of Christ. Currently, we are in the middle of a sermon series called Follow Me. Christian, who is the person who usually preaches, he's preached a bunch of different sermons looking at the Gospel of Matthew and trying to look at what it means to follow Jesus. Tonight, we're going to look at a story of a woman who does something very simple. She has something of great value, an alabaster jar of ointment, and she uses it for Jesus. We're going to look at her story, and my hope for tonight is that your imagination might be sparked and you might be inspired to do the same as you come to follow Christ closer. So I'm going to read the whole story, and it'll be up on the screen. It's from Matthew 26. Feel free to open your Bibles. Matthew 26, starting with verse 6. Now, while Jesus was at Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, a woman came to him with an alabaster jar, a very costly ointment, and she poured it on his head as he sat at the table. When the disciples saw it, they were angry and said, "Why this waste? For this ointment could have been sold for a large sum and the money given to the poor." But Jesus, aware of this, said to them, "Why do you trouble the woman? She has performed a good service for me. For you always have the poor with you, but you will not always have me. By pouring this ointment on my body, she has prepared me for my burial. Truly, I tell you, wherever the good news is proclaimed in the world, what she has done will be told in remembrance of her." Now, there is a lot in this story that we are not going to have a chance to talk about. Some other time, perhaps. But what I want to focus on is the very plain action of this woman. To our eyes, it is unusual, dumping ointment on top of someone's head. Has this ever happened to you at a dinner party? Or have you ever done it? No. I once stood at the end of a table and flung a serving spoon of mashed potatoes across the table, but never anointed anyone with oil. Now, where am I in my sermon? This is what happens when you say something that's trying to be funny, you get a little lost. What she did was quite common for that day. It was dry, it was dusty. When someone who was very important came over to your house, a religious leader, a political figure, or even someone who's just very rich, it was common for them to be anointed with oil. And that is what this woman did to honor Jesus. So this woman comes with her alabaster jar, a very costly ointment. She snaps the top of the jar and she pours it over the head of Jesus. Very costly. Alabaster was a substance. It was this white sort of mineral substance that was only used to hold the very most expensive liquids. The ointment inside, we know from Matthew's account of this story, is very costly. The disciple said it was worth a large sum. In the Gospel of Mark, he tells the same story, but gives us more detail. In that version, the ointment is made of pure nard, which is a great word, nard. It's an oily, fragrant substance, an unguent, that comes from Nepal and from India. Now, that's literally halfway around the world for these folks. And it was pure nard. It was not diluted at all. This was expensive stuff. Mark says it was worth 300 denarii, which was about the equivalent of a year's income for the average worker. The average worker, though, was a man, and she was a woman. In that time, women couldn't have earned that much in a year. They had no chance. Maybe this was what she could have made in a decade or decades or maybe even a lifetime. And this woman pours the whole thing on Jesus' head. Now, the woman herself, we don't know anything about. Where she came from, whether she was rich or poor, whether she was married or single or divorced, whether she was religious, whether she had followed Jesus before, or was this her first step in following him? We don't know. But judging by her extravagant act, we do know that she was devoted to Jesus. And so the thing that she had of great value, she used to serve him with. Now, many of you, if not most of you, are here because you are devoted to Jesus. Am I right? A lot of you have taken steps to follow him. Maybe some of you have followed him for a long time. But even for you who haven't followed him yet, or not a lot, this is just as much for you too, because we all are meant, every one of you, to serve Jesus with what we have of great value, just like that woman did. So the question I want to ask is, what might your jar of ointment be? What do you have of great value that could be used to serve Jesus? It's time to put our imagination caps on for a minute. For some of you, to be perfectly blunt, you have lots of money. You work hard, you invest wisely. Money could be your alabaster jar. For some of you, it's not money. Maybe it's influence. For whatever reason, your personality, your brains, whatever it is, you can influence other people. You can influence change in the world. That could be your alabaster jar. Now, I imagine that some of you are saying to yourselves, well, I don't have anything like that. But it doesn't have to be, and it won't be, most of the time, something expensive or impressive to look at. Because the true value of the ointment wasn't in the ointment itself, of course, but it was with what the woman did with it, of its potential value. So what do you have of great potential value? I'll tell you one thing that we all need, and I know a lot of people in this room need it right now, and it's simple. Friendship. Are you good at being friends with people? Are you good at caring for someone else, at being available, checking in with them, listening to them? That is something of great value. Maybe you're friendly. Maybe you're sensitive to other people's pain. Maybe you have an amazing creativity. Maybe your alabaster jar is something as simple as having a car and a license and the ability to drive someone from point A to point B. For me, someone dumped out their alabaster jar for Jesus by giving me something that we all have. We all have the same amount of it, and that's time. I became a Christian because a youth leader gave his time to me and served Jesus that way. So maybe you don't know what it is yet. Maybe you've never thought about it, or maybe you just don't want to take it off your shelf yet and give it to Jesus. But like this unnamed woman, you have something of great value that you are meant to serve him with. The question we have to ask now is, how do we use these jars? The woman, she literally went to Jesus and poured it all over him. Now, we don't have Jesus with us in the flesh, and I don't think he would appreciate if we poured our stuff all over him. So how do we use our jar? I don't want to overcomplicate this because the answer is so simple. Rather than using what you have for yourself, use it for Jesus. It's that simple. If you have been coming around to Orb for a while, you know the story I'm about to tell. Maybe you lived through it. In the second year of Orb's existence, you might find this hard to believe, but Orb had a hard time finding the right space. We were a high school group that had just started, and our goal was to reach high school kids with the good news of Jesus. A great idea. We had leaders who were on fire for this. They had poured their jars out to tell high school kids about Jesus. We had a handful of kids that we knew would be a good start, and we even had a bunch of real adults behind us who were willing to give money and resources to do this. The one thing we didn't have was a place to meet. And along comes Lee. Lee was this ancient Scandinavian man. He spoke in this great thick accent. He was a very successful CEO for a communication whatever company. And Lee loved Jesus. He always supported the idea and the people that started Orb. He wanted other young people to know Jesus and to follow him. Lee wasn't perfect. He was very successful in business, that's true. But in many ways, he was just like any of us, an ordinary person in need of God's grace. But Lee was someone who had no problem taking his alabaster jar off of his shelf and putting it into the service of Jesus. The way that Lee did that was with his house. He lived in a very nice townhome, in a very nice community. And what he said to us about meeting at his place was, when it comes to showing young people Jesus, this house is all yours. Do what you want with it. I mean, he didn't say that, but he basically said that. And so we did what we wanted with it. There was a cavernous basement full of nooks and corners and crannies. Each had a theme and each had a name. There was one corner that was called Juan Corner, named after our current middle school leader. It was all Spanish themed and it fit him well. We had not one but two pool tables shoved down the steps that were too small for such a pool table. We met there three or four nights a week with high school kids, with young adults. We met in small groups. Lee's kitchen became the place where countless meals were made to be fed or thrown at high school kids. Lee's dining room table became the place where the now defunct Orb newsletter got assembled. His kitchen table became the place where the Orb board meetings were held, where the leaders met to discuss what was going on. His living room was the place where we had countless movie nights, where high school kids were strung about watching TV. That townhome, which had enormous financial value, took on a whole nother kind of value because Lee was willing to use it in the service of Jesus rather than just for himself. Hundreds of kids came in and out of that basement over the years. Many of them first came to follow Christ in that place. Literally, lives were saved there. Because he gave his house to serve Jesus. He did this because Lee knew, and Lee lived out of the fact that everything we have comes from God and is only meant to be used in his service. Now, I want to turn from Lee to you. How can you use your alabaster jar for Jesus rather than for yourself? A lot of you are already doing this. There is a man here who is a skilled engineer and project manager. By the grace of God alone and his hard work, he is using his engineering skills not just to further his career, but to further this church into a building that fits what we need to do the work that God has called us to. He is using his alabaster jar to serve Jesus. Now, you might not have a beautiful townhome like Lee. Maybe you do. You might not have a unique set of skills like a project manager. But I bet you have a kitchen table and chairs to sit at. Listen, I said before, there are people in this room who just need friendship. They need people to invite them over for dinner, to be relieved of their loneliness, to be comforted when they're going through a rough patch in their marriage, to have their burdens carried by a friend, or whatever the case may be. A kitchen table, something as simple as that, can be just a place you eat at, or it could be a place where Jesus is served and proclaimed to people. The Apostle Paul talks about this. He says, if you have quick and crafty hands, rather than using them to steal things, use them to do honest work so that you can give the money and the help to the needy. He says, if you have a sharp tongue, Rather than using that to tear people down, use it to build people up, and in that way give grace to them. He says, if you have a sensitive heart, rather than being overrun by bitterness, by anger, by jealousy, use that heart for kindness, for forgiveness, for mercy. The how is simply a matter of using what you have to serve Jesus rather than yourself. So turn your friendliness into truly welcoming someone in as God has welcomed you. Turn your sensitivity into deep and healing compassion for them in witness of Jesus. Turn your car and your license into an opportunity to simply relieve someone's burden of having to get to or from work. Turn your time into a gift to someone else. You all can do this. You all have these alabaster jars. And I'll push the limits of this metaphor, probably beyond where Matthew meant. You yourself are the alabaster jar, just waiting to serve Jesus. And so the question I want to end with is, why don't we do it? What holds us back? The world is lonely and people need friendships. The hurting need compassion. High school outreach groups need places to meet. So do churches. On the shelf, our jars do nothing. They do no good but collect dust. So why don't we take them off the shelf and put them to use? There's lots of reasons why, I think. But there are three that I think the story touches on, and they all have to do with fear. The first is that we're afraid of what other people will think of us. If I give this or that to serving Jesus, what will my family think? What will my coworkers or friends think? What will my neighbors think? You know, it's funny, when we were at Lee's basement, we had a parents' night where we invited all of the parents of the kids in the group to come and meet us. You know, we weren't anything back then, so parents had no idea where they were sending their kids to. So we said, why don't we have them come and we could meet them and talk to them. We got dressed up really nice. We served really nice meals. Christians gave this really good talk. It was okay. I remember sitting down at the table with two fathers of kids in the group. We talked for a few minutes, and one of the fathers said, you're getting paid for this, right? I said, no, I just love Jesus, and I want to share him. Uh-huh, you're getting college credits, right? I said, no, we're not getting college credits. I just want to share Jesus. And what about this guy, Lee? What is he getting out of this? I said, well, Lee just believes in our vision. He wants people to know Jesus. What is this, like a tax break for him? Well, I said, no, I don't know anything about that. I really think he just wants his house to be used for Jesus. No. He can claim this on his tax return. He's pulling one over on you. He's going to get ahead because of all of this. I said, well, I don't know. I don't know anything about that. I can't blame those fathers because they didn't ever see anything like what we were doing. But what they were saying about us and what they were saying more significantly about Lee, it was rude. It demeaned his generosity. It was just insulting. Lee, thankfully, wasn't around to hear that. But I tell you, it wouldn't have bothered Lee one bit. Just like it didn't bother him when the neighbors got angry and called a town meeting to get us to leave that place. Lee knew to concern himself less with what other people thought about him and more with what Jesus thought. And the same goes for this woman in this story. Matthew tells us that the disciples were very angry at the woman for doing this. They thought this was a waste of something valuable. They didn't understand her actions, and they got mad and bothered this woman. Mark's version of the story is a little more detailed again. He says the people in the room rebuked her harshly, which is a phrase in Greek that is used to denote like when horses snare their nostrils in anger. It's a really ugly word. This woman suffers ridicule and wrath from those people around her. But in the face of that, she was fearless in using her alabaster jar because she knew what Lee knew and what you and I need to know if we're going to follow Jesus. And that is, it is always better to care more about what he thinks than what other people think. The second reason that I think we don't use our jars, tell me if this is true, is because we're afraid of what life would be like if we don't possess that thing like we're used to. The question we ask ourselves is, what will life be like if I give my this or my that to serving Jesus rather than keeping it for myself? I bet most people struggle with this fear. I struggle with this fear more than anything else. I'm afraid that I won't have enough if I give more of my money away. I'm afraid I'll have no time for myself if I use more of it for Jesus. But for as common as this fear is, it is even more foolish. And there are two reasons. One is from experience. Have you ever risked something, given yourself to serving Jesus, and have it not be completely worthwhile? There is nothing so exciting as serving him. I continually find that the thing I was afraid of missing out on isn't even worth comparing to the joy and pleasure that's found in actually serving Christ. And the second reason is more theological. When it comes down to it, it is nothing less than a lack of faith in Jesus to believe that the alabaster jar is better in our hands than it is in the hands of Jesus. The woman in the story knew this. When she broke the jar like she did, she wasn't just giving him a nice perfume. She was giving decades of financial security. But she wasn't concerned in the least with what life would be like without it. In the face of that potential loss, she was fearless in giving her jar into Jesus' service because she trusted Jesus that it was better in his hands than it would be on her shelf. You, too, can trust Jesus in this. Trust that the thing you are afraid of living without will take on a whole new and richer value in the hands of Jesus rather than your own. And then a third reason why we don't give our jars like we ought. And it's simply because we're afraid it won't be good enough. We're afraid that we won't give what we have in the right way, or that the alabaster jar that we have won't be worth enough to Jesus to be useful. We're afraid that we're not good enough. We're afraid to fail if we do try. If we look back at the story for a minute, the disciples were complaining that the ointment could have been sold and used to help the poor. By Mark's calculation, this could have fed 7,500 people one meal. In most people's minds, in the disciples for sure, this woman's extravagant action could have been given better elsewhere. What this woman gave did appear wasteful. I mean, she could have used a little bit of the ointment to anoint Jesus and then sold the rest and given the money to the poor. And even Jesus knew it. It says in verse 10 that Jesus was aware of this. But then he said, "Why do you trouble her? She has performed a good action, a good service for me. She has anointed my body for burial." The burial is, of course, that of being closed in the tomb after he died on the cross, to take on and bury forever the sins of the world and to reconcile us to God in his flesh. In her simple act of honoring him, she ended up anointing him for the most important event that has ever happened in the history of the world. And she didn't know what she was doing. By most accounts, she failed in doing the most good. Even Jesus was aware of this, but in the face of even that, she was fearless in giving what she had into the service of Jesus. Her gift wasn't perfect, but he is perfect. And he transformed it into something that was good for the world. Lee wasn't a perfect man. His neighbors, who didn't like high school kids stinking up the neighborhood, they would tell you that his giving wasn't perfect. But he gave what he had to Jesus anyway. And a lot of you are here because of that. Listen, don't wait to get it all figured out. Don't wait for the planets to align. Don't wait until you feel like you're good enough to give what you have to serve Jesus. Just do it. And he will figure it out. Not that we shouldn't be wise, not that we shouldn't plan or think critically or do the best we can. Of course we should and more. But it is always Jesus who takes even the smallest and ill-conceived of our efforts and transforms them into actions that build the kingdom of God here on earth. Remember where this sermon series started. It's our job to follow him, but it's his job to make us fishers of men. It's our job to plant the seeds and to water them, but it's God's job to give growth. It is our job to give what we can, but it is his job to transform hearts and minds and lives. So don't be afraid to use what you have of great value to serve him. He will hold you up even if others sneer. He will give it value that you couldn't imagine. He will transform your imperfect jar into something good for his mission on earth. This is the picture of following Christ that's generated by what this unnamed woman does. And this is what we're called to do. And this is what we have to do, both as individuals and a church, if we aim to follow Jesus and aim to show Jesus to the people of Monmouth County and aim to see more and more people come to know him and follow him. Let's pray that God would give us the courage to do this. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you for the witness of this woman who gave all that she had to follow you and in your service. Lord, we pray that we would be inspired, that our imaginations would be sparked to do the same. Lord God, we thank you that you gave all that you had for us. Give us the courage that we need to take our jars off the shelf and put them to good use by you. Lord, give us courage to put them into your service. Give us courage to give up the things we were holding on to and the trust that we need that you will do with them something far better than we could ever ask or hope or imagine. Lord Jesus, we love you and we thank you for the lives and for the salvation that you have brought for us when your body was broken on the cross and buried and then raised for us again. Lord, we pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.